The city of Tucson launches free internet. Drones plant seeds on rough terrain. Amazon can make a dumb camera smart. And medical effects of Super 5G. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, episode 25. I'm Aaron Moss, your host, along with Travis Theory, co-host.
Hello, Governor.
Good to have you with us every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVOI 1030 The Voice and streaming live on YouTube on the 1030 The Voice YouTube channel. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in any time with your comments and questions. We'll try to take your calls as time allows. We do have two guests on the show today, and there's lots of talk about curfew in Tucson, but not too much talk about the free internet initiative by a community wireless network. Tucson is one of the first in the country to supply free internet to citizens as a public service. I did say free, and we'll tell you how to get it later on in the show. Also, Super 5G is fast in the latest smartphones, but how fast can it give you cancer? Stay tuned for a live report about EMF and associated illnesses. But first, our top tech news stories this week. The FAA approved a seed-sowing drone to reforest land affected by the many wildfires experienced in Colorado, California, Nevada, New Mexico, and here in Arizona during the 2020 heat wave. The Fire Aviation website reported this week the oversized heavy-duty, heavy-lift drones can drop seeds in hard-to-reach areas and hard-to-see areas as they can operate beyond the visual line of sight. The 57-pound container carries capsules containing 4 to 6 seeds, fertilizer, natural pest deterrents, and fibrous material which absorbs water and increases survivability. The drones are given autonomous flight missions similar to the walk of a farmer up and down a field by using electronic grid maps and land surveys to spot the sections most likely to germinate and take root. The CEO of DroneSeed, Grant Canary, said a swarm of 5 drones can cover 25 to 50 acres per day. The drones are working hard to replant the areas such as 1 million acres in California and the 173,000 acres in Oregon and other locations destroyed by wildfire. Since the opposite of smart is dumb, Amazon can make a dumb security camera system into a smart system with this technology. Just imagine your current cameras being able to recognize license plates, counting number of times a door is opened or closed, or even automatically logging when an employee arrives or leaves. Similar technology is also in use in some retail organizations with a camera and a screen that detects if you are wearing a mask or not. The smart camera system is part of Amazon Web Services, or AWS, on a new service called AWS Panorama. The purpose of the program is to better monitor already existing camera feeds in the house or a building to enhance notifications and events, the same way that a human watching a screen can. So I'm sure we've all seen those movies where the security guard falls asleep while he's in the camera room, and the good guys or the bad guys, they're able to make their escape without being seen, you know? So if you don't want to replace your entire infrastructure with smart technology, then a smart camera plugin from Amazon might be the solution for you. The Computer Doctor Show got a chance to interview the city of Tucson yesterday about a new internet service for students, seniors, families, and others that don't have the means to have internet at home. The city of Tucson has been long awaiting for a solution since COVID-19 has started for some sort of solution of internet to be provided to people such as students and even the older community about having access to internet. With us today is Colin Boyce. He's the chief information officer of the city of Tucson. Thank you, Colin, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, you know, getting to know you and
and being able to reach out to the citizens and provide perspective on what we're looking to accomplish.
So, yes, you're very welcome. So tell us about this City of Tucson Community Wireless. This is something new that the city is putting together. So tell us exactly what that is and what it entails.
Sure. So the City of Tucson, we were looking for a way to partner with the community during this difficult time of COVID, right? You have kids. At this point in time, we didn't realize kids were going to be working, doing school from home, elderly population. But we knew, we had a sense that the pandemic was going to have an adverse effect on the population. And so through the IT department in partnership with the chief, with the CMO office in the city, city manager's office in the city, we presented an idea to provide wireless coverage throughout the city. And I'm not sure if your audience is already technical, or are they typically
we have both technical people. We have lots of baby boomers that listen to the show, so basically the those that have access to the internet and also those that don't have access to the internet might be listening to this show. So when you say that you're creating more internet in the city, how are you going about doing that more internet in the city?
So for your tech users, they're going to totally dig what I'm going to put out here, right? So we initially looked at doing typical Wi-Fi, so the 802.11 type stuff. And when we were doing it, we realized to cover the square mileage where citizens live was going to be different. So in the middle of the project, we pivoted, or at the beginning of the project, we pivoted and moved towards an LTE product, which is basically cell phone service, right? And the joys of cell phone service is, you know, if you think of wireless in your house, it's about 150 feet, 200 feet radius that you're getting out of that, whereas a cell phone tower is able to go a mile. And so by pivoting that, we are able to cover a larger berth of the city. And so the goal is extend the coverage and get to a point where we're able to hit more citizens with this signal. The disadvantage is, as we provide this technology to the citizens, is that once you move to that, you have to do the equivalent of a MiFi device for the citizens, right? So they have to have something that takes that LTE signal and translate it to something usable. And so we partnered with another vendor that basically, it's like, for your non-technical folks, it's like a radio receiver, right? The radio waves are there, it grabs it and converts into sound. This device will grab the radio waves and convert it into a Wi-Fi signal that you can connect your laptop to browse.
So lots of cell phone companies, they already have these type of devices. They're not cell phones, but they do exactly what you just said. They take a cell phone signal, and then they change the signal into an internet signal that gets rebroadcast or relayed as Wi-Fi within the home. Okay, yeah. They can be a jetpack. They can be all these types of packs. And sometimes it's just like a little plug-in that you just plug into the wall, and it automatically knows what frequency to pick up from the cell phone signal, because there might be, I think there might even be a little SIM card in there as something to communicate with the towers, cell phone towers, and then it makes it into a Wi-Fi signal. So is that the technology that's being utilized with the city? You have vendors that have made these devices that are available to the public now?
Yes. So that's exactly what we're doing. So instead of what we're doing that's unique, though, is we're not using Verizon or AT&T or the typical cell phone manufacturers. We will be one of the first cities in the country that providing our own network. And the advantage in doing that is we can now leverage this network to do other things, right? So we'll own the network. We'll have our own SIM cards, and we partnered vendors to do so. So we will have our SIM cards that will be inside the devices, and they will function.
You know what this sounds like? It kind of sounds like the Obama phone, but in a Wi-Fi arrangement, you know?
Yeah. I guess that would be a good comparison. The big thing, or the difference is this, right, is we don't have long-term funding for this. And of course, while we own the infrastructure, we still have to broadcast frequencies and that type of stuff. So there's still associated back-end costs.
Well, you never know who might be listening to this show, because we might get somebody that might be willing to put it up there to take care of the funding, because this is a very, very, very much needed a service that the city city of Tucson needs. On an earlier show, we calculated somewhere in maybe about 1 million people in Arizona still have no internet at home. And this type of technology will bring a lot of that, hopefully those numbers down where more people can be connected. Mm-hmm. As we wrap up, I'm just looking at the coverage map on the website here. I have here wifi-pilot.tucsonnetlink.com. Does that sound like the correct website?
That is the correct website. Perhaps an easier way to do it is www.nettucson, T-U-C-S-O-N, netlink, N-E-T-L-I-N-K.com. So if you go to www, it will take you to the same place and redirect you accordingly. And that's a little bit easier to put out there than Wi-Fi.
All right, everybody. www.tucsonnetlink.com. And there's a coverage map on here. There is an application process where you have to fill out an application. So can you tell us what this turnaround time is to get this? And by the way, how much does this cost?
How much is it costing the citizens? It is free for the first year. We have not made any decisions on year number two. So December this time, we will be making announcements at least 30 to 90 days to let you all know what we're doing with it. But it is 100% free. So you'll have an endpoint device that will be able to grab the signal and transmit it into your house. We are partnering with the school districts for distribution, but this is 100% a partnership between the school districts, the city of Tucson, in order to make this happen. And we're hoping to expand that partnership to mm-hmm. include other city agencies as well as the libraries to get more done. So we're mm-hmm. pretty excited by it.
Okay, very good.
You asked me a question about, yeah. So I know I answered one part of your question. Can you give me the other question, part of your question, so I can answer that as well?
So the turnaround time of the when people apply.
So there's an application process that we're going to look through for the next 2 weeks. And we're looking at the applications that comes in. And even if we're not in your coverage area, I'm going to encourage people to apply. And what the application process, even if we're not in your area, we are looking to expand the network out. And so we are basing that on how many people that apply.
Okay.
The turnaround time is early January. The school districts are going to be helping us distribute these devices. So we're going to go through the application process this year. We're going to provide the approvals. We're going to get the devices out to the school districts. And then the school districts will be reaching out to folks and scheduling times and appointments where they can come and pick up their devices. So we're hoping.
I already know two high schools that want it, just so you know. So we'll definitely give it. All right. But you know what? We do have to wrap things up here. Colin Boyce, he is the Chief Information Officer of Tucson. He is kind of headlining this new community wireless program that is free through the City of Tucson Community Wireless. Again, the website, TucsonNetlink.com. Thank you, Colin. We'll have you on the show again because there are more projects that the city is doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope you have an amazing weekend. And thank you for inviting me to your show.
All right. Yeah, that was a great interview. Up next on the Computer Doctor Show, the effects of 5G on your health. We'll also try to take some of your calls on our open lines, 520-790-2040. You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show on KVOI 1030 Tucson. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.
Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439. Solar is popping up all over town. Why? Because solar just makes sense. Say goodbye to expensive summer electricity bills. Call or text Julie Festerling at Icon Power, 520-307-1013. Avoid the new 7.9% price increase with the utility company. Call Julie at 520-307-1013. Icon Power will help you take control of your electric bill.
Perfect Look Photography is a photography business that serves individuals, families, wedding parties, children's parties, quinceañeras, and family reunions. We also do headshots for actors and model portfolios. We photograph all types of events in Tucson and communities in Pima and Santa Cruz counties. In addition, we provide more types of photos than any photographer in Tucson, including green screen, art photography, montages, and DVD slideshows. We provide great photos at great prices. For more information or to get a quote, please call 499-4209.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show. Our next guest on the program is the Executive Director of the Electromagnetic Safety Alliance and an advocate of building awareness to human-made electromagnetic fields. She manages a campaign to the United Nations and the World Health Organization supported by 250 scientists in 44 nations, encouraging the development and safety and protective guidelines related to electronics and other EMF devices. She's also holding an EMF medical conference in January of 2021 called EMF Associated Illness. Please welcome Elizabeth Kelly to the program. How are you, Elizabeth?
Well, good afternoon, Aaron. I'm fine. Thank you for having me on your show.
You know, this is a great subject. This dates back several decades. I know you've been doing this for a number of decades yourself. So we just want to just jump into the first question. What are some of the major concerns about this fifth generation wireless, the Internet of Things, and other sources of wireless radiation?
Well, that is an enormous topic with lots of permutations. So I'm going to cut to the chase. We don't really know what the health effects of 5G will be because we're not even sure yet what it is. 5G has been marketed and promoted to a huge extent and a lot of money behind it. The goal to increase speed and connectivity is their message, but health is not a concern. They continue to claim that there's no credible evidence showing there is harm. But that's not true. There are a number of studies. You mentioned I work with the scientists. I follow the research and what's going on nationally and internationally. And right now, this issue is being debated everywhere because people are very concerned about exposure to 5G.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned some of this scientific literature that you follow. So does the scientific literature report any harmful effects used by 5G?
Let me back up a minute and bring you back to 4G, because 4G frequencies are going to be part of the fifth generation wireless infrastructure. There are going to be low-band frequencies in the low megahertz range, mid-band frequencies that are used right now for Wi-Fi, and up into the ultra-high frequencies. The FCC intends to sell off spectrum as high as 100 gigahertz, which is very high frequency in the millimeter wave band. Or beyond. And so we don't really know what frequencies there will be or what applications there will be. But if you read the business section of the paper, as I do, all the startup companies are building 5G into their operations. And so this is going to become the very air we breathe, in fact. And the health concerns about 4G and 3G were made by the EMF scientists I work with that launched the International EMF Scientist Appeal. And they discuss all the cellular changes and molecular changes and health effects that were available at the time. And then we issued a statement calling for testing of 5G prior to deployment, but that never happened. And so here we are. And the limited studies that are available right now, one goes back to 1996. Dr. Om Gandhi, an electrical engineer with the University of Utah who helped develop the cell phone exposure standards, claims that the 5G frequencies, millimeter waves, will affect the skin and the eyes. And there continues to be research showing exactly that. Millimeter waves are absorbed by water. And the eyes and the skin are particularly at risk because they're mainly water. millimeter waves also can cause antibiotic resistance because they interact with bacteria. They may cause many skin effects, and they have been documented in the literature, showing systemic signaling can result in physiological effects on the nervous system, the heart, and the immune system, which is mediated through the endocrine system.
Mm-hmm.
The beam-forming part of it is of especially of concern. Shall I stop?
Well, we do have two callers that actually have some questions. Maybe that can be directed to you. We do have Vern on line three there. Vern, can you hear us?
Yes.
Yeah, did you have a question?
Yes, I got concerns about 4G and 5G towers. Now, 5G is higher frequency, shorter wavelengths. So the shorter wavelengths can be obstructed by heavy rain, not a problem in Tucson, and obstacles. And will all the 4G towers be converted to 5G, or will there be 4G towers and 5G towers existing? Because if you can't get a connection to a 5G tower due to obstructions, will your 5G cell phone go to a 4G tower, lower frequency, longer wavelength, so they can reach you?
I get it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And may I make a real fast answer to that one? The infrastructure doesn't work exactly like you describe. Both 4G and 5G antennas are going to be located on the big macro towers, which do go through public notice and review by the city. They also will be located on the small cell antennas that will be located by the buildings. And you're right, the millimeter wave antennas can't pierce walls and can be affected by water and leaves. So that's one reason why they're so close to the buildings, and they're going to be located within 200 to 300 meters on every street. And we're seeing them now. This is being deployed on light poles and on right-of-way easements on private and public property in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I see these things. They look like some of the Seabees were erected on a South Pacific island in World War II to prevent the Japanese bombers from detecting them from 12,000 feet.
Hmm. Well, it was the U.S. Office of Naval Research who for decades have examined the effects of radar on naval personnel, and they've published many studies showing biological effects from radio frequency radiation, which millimeter waves are part of, by the way.
Vern,
so you're pointing to something that has been known for decades, that military personnel have been affected by this.
So I was in the middle of a Mississippi floodplain, and the people I was with there from the local area, and they could not get a connection. I pulled out my 3G cell phone, flip phone, and they got a connection, and I think that was due to the lower frequency, longer wavelengths that was able to get a connection.
That is a question for the manufacturers and the way that things are routed. That's really like a phone routing question. But thank you very much, Vern, for calling in. We just want to get one more caller in because of time. But thank you very much for calling in. Can we get Roberta on line four? Okay, Roberta's going to be coming in for in just a second, but we wanted to just maybe just mention something about the safety part about this. So we'll talk about the safe way to connect in just a second. Roberta, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Hello. How are you? Good to hear from you again.
Thank you. Thank you for the information you're presenting. I didn't quite understand whether the guest said the waves could go through the walls or not, and I was wondering if that new city network is going to be 5G or not.
The new city network is 4G for now. They run on an LTE network, and they are also running on some radio frequencies. So we may have to. We're probably going to have that guest on again to maybe talk a little bit more about that, because we might be getting involved more with that. Any comments on that, Elizabeth?
Yeah, 4G uses radio frequency radiation to transmit signal, and they are powerful signals that can go quite a distance. With 5G, they're also upping the power. And IEEE just released a study showing that the downlink of 5G is much more powerful, called power density, mm-hmm. and exceeds the FCC safety guidelines.
You know what? We're going to have to... We really need a longer show because this will just keep on going on and
you
on.
Betcha.
We have to say nothing.
We almost have just a minute left in the show, but you know what? We would like to thank our awesome sponsors, Icon Power, Perfect Look Photography, and Ugly Goose Car Rental. Please do business with them. They are local and help keep this show on the air. My name is Aaron Moss, your technology host and expert, Travis Theory co-host. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Listen to the Computer Doctor Show every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVY, 1030 The Voice. Stay safe, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to the Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.